All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is October the 29th, 2021. My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. How are you? It's been a few. A couple more days. We got Halloween. Very exciting. Definitely weather change here on the East Coast. Came in with a bluster, a wind. Very windy this morning and cool and gray and right on schedule. Usually happens right around Halloween. I mean, I think back through all the different Halloweens that we've gone through, and it's either I can remember trick-or-treating with the kids and it being really hot, and then the next day it getting cold. I can remember it getting cold and trick-or-treating in the cold. But usually right around Halloween, there is a definite weather change, and it's definitely changed towards cold weather. And it's, you know, right on schedule. Here we go. I think it's the weather's supposed to be decent for trick-or-treating, but, you know, it's cooling down. So what else is going on? I am, like every person, I think, maybe not, maybe it's just me. Everything is great, right? Everything is just fine. Sober. Kids are fine, wife is fine, business is fine. But there's this underlying kind of not fine sort of tone. And I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I'm not a professional. I know that one of the challenges that I've been dealing with right now is procrastination. I've talked about this in the other podcasts before. You know, I'm a procrastinator. There's times in my life I've been the opposite, a non-procrastinator, been really on top of things. But lately, I don't know what it is, just this shift in life. But procrastination has started to creep back up in my life. And it's, you know, it's tough because I feel like I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. But in the back of my mind, I know there's things that I should be doing that I've been procrastinating on. And one of them, you know, so I discussed, you know, how we're moving and stuff. And one of the things that I've been procrastinating on, how many times am I going to have to say this word? Procrastinating on is just getting the house ready and getting us ready to move. Now, granted, we won't be moving for a bit. I mean, I think our house is going to be finished in April. Plenty of time to procrastinate, right? But it's just an example of all sorts of shit that I've been doing. You know, tax time last this, and COVID has, I mean, threw my life into a spin cycle, and then everything went flying out, right? And but like tax time last year, you know, I remember they extended, you know, the date so that to file. I don't know. It was just all a blur. I don't really, I can't even really remember doing taxes. Taxes is a hot topic for me when it comes to procrastination. And, you know, if you do your taxes or if you get a person to do your taxes, usually they send you out a packet, right? And the packet comes and then you fill it out, or at least you use it as a guide to help you gather all the things that you're going to need for taxes. And then once you get everything all together, you send it off to your guy, and then they do your tax, or gal, whatever. And, you know, I've had this CPA, and he's been my tax guy for 11 years. And for 11 years, I've never followed the packet. I am that guy that basically takes pictures of things, emails things. You know, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, this is kind of, it's a lot like raising kids, right? You know, my CPA allowed me to do it, so I continued to do it. And then in the end, when everything gets real fucked up because of me doing it, it's easy for me to call and blame the CPA. Where this is a, you know, this is my fault. I'm absolutely 100% part of this problem. And this is a year, you know, I get a letter. You know, I get a letter the other day that from the IRS. Hey, and by the way, you know, if the IRS wants to get a hold of you, you know it when they get a hold of you. There's no phone calls. There's no texts. There's no emails. It's a letter from the IRS. There's no confusion. And this is, I'm saying this because, you know, there's a lot of scams going out. The IRS, you know, for a while there was a phone call going around saying we were going to arrest you if you didn't contact us. It's all a scam. The IRS will send you a letter, and it has their logo right on it. It's very clear this is from the IRS. And I got a letter. It said, listen, your adjusted taxes, which if you know anything about doing taxes, you can have adjusted taxes where you basically says, listen, you're going to owe. You might as well start paying it in chunks. Usually you pay it in a quarter, over four quarters, and you cover it. And for the last 2 years, I've had to do adjusted taxes, which is completely new. I've never had to do adjusted taxes. I feel like actually I make less money now. So, but, you know, I just trust people. I trust my CPA, and he's a good CPA. He's a good guy. He's just, you know, I'm part of the problem. And get the letter. And this happened. This is from last year where it's like a blur. And I, you know, and I feel like my CPA basically said, hey, he's not going to give me all the information. We'll do his taxes with what we got, and he gets what he gets. And I think that that's kind of started happening. And for the last couple of tax seasons, I've had to pay adjusted taxes. And it's, I don't want to like get in an argument with him and trying to figure out what led us to this. Like I said, it's probably me. But here we are, and I get this letter, and there's confusion, and I can't remember if we paid our adjusted taxes, and he's not helpful. And I can feel like, and this is might be just me, but I feel like inside he's going, ha-ha, this is what you get when you don't send all your information, and then you get screwed over. But he did say, he goes, well, one thing is you don't have to worry about this year because you don't have to do adjusted taxes. And I'm like, well, why is it different this year? Why this year? I guess you made less money. I'm like, so basically this guy's checked out, and I don't blame him because I haven't participated well in this relationship, but here we are, right? And we get a letter, and so I'm freaking out, and to be fully transparent, it was for $1,400, not the most amount of money, but you know, it's a chunk of change, right? So my wife is freaking out, I'm freaking out, you know, and anytime, and I shared probably, I don't know, 5-6 months ago that I had just went through another audit through the Department of Labor, which is basically like the IRS, because they went through everything. You know, they're trying to figure out, you know, about labor and employment, and so it's a different podcast, but I just went through one of these kind of things. So, you know, I'm freaking out. I'm calling people. I'm trying to get it all figured out. And so finally, I just said, let me call the lady at the IRS. So I call this lady. Oh, my God, she's so helpful, so nice. And we kind of get into it, looking around, trying to figure it out. Well, turns out we did pay our adjusted taxes. We just didn't pay all of them. But at the same time, we had received a letter this past year saying we were getting a return. And I told her, I go, I don't know how we owe money because we got a letter from you saying we were getting a refund. And so she's, you know, right away I hear this, you know, you could hear this lady has a Addy machine right next to her, you know, and I can hear it. It reminded me of my mom. My mom was an accountant, and she goes, okay, well, it looks like we actually owe you money. I'm like, hey. There you go. So it turns out that we don't owe. We did pay. There was confusion. And we're getting $515 back. Oh, God. It's just how life is at this period, I guess. But, you know, good for us. Yay, money. But the reality and the part that I'm having to really take a look at is procrastinating. I've talked about it before. I'm a procrastinator. There's times in my life where it's bad. There's times in my life where it's not bad. Unfortunately, you know, I don't know if it's COVID, I'm getting older, whatever it is, lack of meetings, I just started procrastinating. And I'm, you know, when I first got sober, and I've shared this story, my buddy Matt said, listen, because I think that anybody's getting, that anybody that's usually getting sober probably procrastinates. They probably, and I won't speak for everybody. I know that up until my last point of my life, I had like people surrounding me, bailing me out, like my mother and father, you know, keeping me above water, allowing me to procrastinate. So when I got sober, my buddy Matt was like, listen, you know, one thing I want you to start doing is go down to the mailbox every day, take out the mail. If there's any bills, I want you to pay them immediately, put a stamp on it, and I want you to take them back down and put them in the mailbox. And I was like, because, you know, my, I don't remember if it was my father or somebody told me, you know, you never want to pay a bill any earlier than you have to, because you don't want the company holding on to your money any longer than they need to, because they could make, you know, they could make interest off of your money. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I would be that guy, and I would wait till the last minute. And companies, they even they don't even like that. You know, it used to be if your letter or bill was, you know, postdated before the date that it was due, that it was still good. But now companies, like especially Xfinity, they're very good at this. They, you know, if you wait till the last minute, they send out a new bill, which includes your old bill. Because as far as they're concerned, they haven't received your payment. So then you get this bill, which is like $500, and you're like, yeah, but I sent it. So it creates a lot of confusion. They're hard on the people that try to wait till the last minute. But the point was, and the point Matt was trying to make was, listen, you're probably a procrastinator. You probably don't want to admit it. You might not even know it. You probably don't realize the anxiety and stress that procrastination brings. So he said, first thing I want you to start doing is start managing some of these important things like bills. And so I started doing that. Every day I go to the mailbox. Every day I'd open the mailbox, take out the bills or whatever, and every day I would pay them immediately and then put them back in there. Man, it frees you up from a lot of stress because I've stopped doing that. You know, my wife has the mailbox keys. She takes care of the bills. And she does a great job at it, but I worry about the bills. You know, I think about them. So I'm carrying around anxiety for something that is really isn't worth worrying about. But this is the mail and bills are just one thing. You know, I also have bills and mail that go along with the salon. And so it's just a lot of things. And I just feel like I've been procrastinating a lot. It's sneaking back into my life. So it's creating anxiety. And I just, you know, just haven't been comfortable in my own skin lately. Easily fixed, you know, start handling my business. I know it's bad because I daydream of napping. Napping is some like safe place for me. You know, I get it comes on heavy when I'm working. You know, it comes on heaviest when I'm doing something that I don't probably want to be doing. And I think COVID, pandemic, has made me not like my job, even though I have a great job, and I do like my job, but I'm feeling not as excited about it. It's changed how people are. It's just a lot. So it's, you know, it's aggravating me. So that's something I got to work on. And I also wanted to talk about, so, you know, I've shared in the past how much I like Joe Rogan's podcast. I really like Joe Rogan. I like, you know, I think he's very good at what he does. He's a great interviewer. He's got great perspective on stuff, on most things. One thing that he does not have a lot of great perspective on is sobriety, serenity. I mean, he does. I shouldn't have even said that. It's just sometimes he doesn't have a lot to say about it. And so the other day he had Jewel, the singer, on his podcast, and she was fucking fantastic. I mean, what a great lady. And, you know, great artist, great musician, you know, kept her nose above water, you know, still hanging in there. But she came on the podcast and shared her story. She also wrote a book. What's the book? I don't even know. It is called, I think it's, I'll tell you, because I bought it and I've been listening to it. It's called Never Broken. It's so good. Great story. So many lessons, I think, to be learned, or at least to try to figure out why we're kind of in the state of mind or state where we're in now. And you can't, it, you know, it's tough because when my parents grew up, life was a lot rougher. When I grew up, life was not as rough, but it was, you know, wasn't as easy. And over the years, we've gotten to this place where life has just become so, we're so catered to and so gluttonous. We live a gluttonous life, people. I'm sorry. A self-centered life is not a happy life. And this is where we've gotten to. If this doesn't include you, then, you know, ignore what I'm about to say. But we're a self-centered bunch. And when you live a life of self, it is miserable. And that's part of my problem, is I'm living a life of self. You know, it's very self-oriented right now, I guess. So, but, you know, the point of this was is that she told a great story talking about how she grew up in Homer, Alaska with, you know, brothers. And, you know, there was no, you're a girl, you can't do this, and the boys only do this. It was like everybody does everything. And if you don't, figure it out. If you don't know how to do it, figure it out. And in the end, it creates better character, right? It creates more resilient people. And she's a resilient person. And listening to the story and the stuff that she went through, you know, when you listen to it, you're like, oh, poor thing. But in her world, it was awesome, right? But she talked about a couple things that she talked about. And so she talked about, you know, we can only be in a person or a state of mind or a spirit can only be in one place at a time. And she said that it's either a constricted state or a dilated state. And because she struggled with anxiety, she struggled with all these different things in her life. And you know, and even Joe Rogan's like, it's amazing that you even had the wherewithal to figure this out. Because, you know, she tried to figure it out. And she would say, listen, I don't feel good about this. It's creating anxiety. What is this about? Is this nurture or nature? You know, nurture meaning like different word. To me, what I took from it was like nurture or nature is like self or humility. You know, nature is self, I guess, and nurture is more humility. But she also talked about how, you know, this, you know, constricted or dilated. And then she goes, you know, when my life in my, when I'm in a dilated state, this is about like yoga and love and helping others and, you know, meditation and just all that, the great stuff that we can do. And then when we're in a state of constriction, that's like working, you know, self, you know, money. It's all the stuff that comes in our life that makes it so challenging, right? Where I, you know, I've always looked at it as self or humility, because I've always referred to it, and I'm not religious, and I'm not into God, and I'm not into church, but I get it. And so I've always kind of referred to it as that kind of that religious spiritual side where, you know, if I'm living a life of self, which is making money, you know, looking good, dressing good, driving cars, you know, appearance, how do I sound, how do I look, you know, that's all self-centered side. It's all ego-based. It's all pride and ego and self. And then there's the humble side, which is like, you know, serenity, helping others, going to meetings, putting your hand out, making coffee, you know, volunteering, all these things that create humility. But the problem with that is, and a lot of people have an issue, is they don't like the God thing. You know, when people come into a program or get sober, they're like, you know, I'll do all this, but I'm not doing the God stuff. And, you know, what are you going to tell them? Okay, well, all right. But the way Jewel talked about it is this this, you know, constricted or dilated life. And I could totally get that. I mean, I like the God side of AA. I like the God, I like that spiritual side. I like being okay with it. You know, I've tried to figure out in the past why it's such an issue. You know, maybe because, you know, according to the God side, if you don't do what's suggested, that you end up in hell. And I think people have a they're really annoyed by that. You know, they don't like that. So they're just like, well, I'm not going to do that God side of it. But the way Jewel talked about it, you didn't have to commit to God, right? It was just understanding the state of our spirit. Are you constricted or are you dilated? And unfortunately, I think a dilated is like my eyes were when I used to do speed. You know, they used to get real big and dilated and relaxed. It made a lot of sense to me. I just, listen, if you like Joe Rogan and you like Jewel, check out that podcast. It was so good. My wife watched it with me. I know that's how I know it was pretty good, because she was really interested. And the other thing that I thought was so cool and really just made me think was this, how she talked about how, I guess Jewel really struggled with anxiety. And she said, I had to stop treating anxiety as an enemy and start treating anxiety as an ally. I was like, oh shit, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas. Mamas, mamas. Baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Jackson, ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
My baby is drama, mama. Don't like me. Doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She need to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out and let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, shit, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She wanna rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited. Despite it, I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
Yeah, what a great song. she said. And I was like, my jaw like freaking dropped. And it's not like I didn't know this, but I never had really thought of it in this way, which, and like she said, I had to stop treating my anxiety as an enemy and started treating it as an ally. And she goes, we as people in this time in our lives, we have stopped being able to handle pain, anxiety, stress. You know, when things go wrong or things get tough, unfortunately, you know, we turn to pharmaceuticals, medication, alcohol, whatever it is. And she said, you know, we're built to handle this stuff. You know, as a human being, we're built to handle pain. We're built to handle anxiety. We're built to handle stress and worry and depression. These are indicators that our body is telling us that something is going wrong or something is wrong in our world. And I get it. You know, I've shared in the past, I was diagnosed as bipolar and depression. And that's a great opportunity to take some pills, right? But the depression was me being sad that I couldn't do drugs and alcohol. Because I was, of course, diagnosed in a rehab. So, of course, I was depressed. Bipolar, I do have it. I do struggle with bipolar. And what that means, at least for me, is that I can fluctuate. And sometimes it can be pretty extreme. You know, I can get really, really happy, and I can get really, really sad. And, you know, luckily it's never, you know, I've never been violent. I've never had like outbursts in that sort of way. But I tend to hold stuff internally. So like, I feel like I've just kind of been going through right now so a little bit of bipolar stuff. You know, I've been really, really low and really, really focusing on it. And, you know, I recognize it. And I'm like, listen, you know, sometimes I choose to ignore it, but, you know, the reality is I can see it and it's, I can, you know, and she talked about it and they talk about it in AA. You can change your day at any time. She's like, you can change your universe at any time. And I just sometimes forget and choose not to, but I recognize it. And, you know, so if I'm going to be down real low, like I have been, I need to start figuring out what's kind of the fuel for that. And one of them right now is procrastinating. And I know that I should be doing better and I'm not. And so now when I'm kind of in this low spot for me, you know, and this is, I'm just talking about me. I am not a doctor. Listen, I don't, if you're bipolar, do you? I don't know. I'm just talking about me. But, you know, when I'm in one of these kind of extremely low spots, because I've had some like dark thoughts lately, you know, some days I just, it gets exhausting. And, but I have to remind myself, I'm like, listen, man, got bipolar. You're probably in extreme low right now. What's kind of causing it? What can you do to improve your situation? So the other day, my payroll company, she's like, you need to come by here and sign a check. And I was like, okay. And my first thought was, I'll do it tomorrow. And what was I going to do? I was going to go home and take a nap. And this is classic me in when I'm having one of these kind of moments. I just want to fucking lay down. I just want to pull a blanket over my head. I just want to watch SportsCenter. I don't want to participate in the world. And so my first thought was, I'll do it tomorrow. My second thought was, you don't have any time to do it tomorrow. Let's go do it right now. And I did it. I turned around on the road and I drove down to payroll and I signed the check. And when I went over there to sign the check, then I talked to them about getting a new tax guy. You know, Gary over at ProGar, they're great. They do taxes. And one of the challenges with my other guy is that he's in a different state and a different town. So he's not close. It's worked for a while. It's not working anymore. But due to the fact that I didn't procrastinate, I went over to ProGar. I talked to them. I had to sign the check. And then I ended up talking to them about doing my taxes, set up an appointment. And now I'm starting to clear things off of my desk, solve little problems that I've been procrastinating on. And I can tell you, my feelings and my spirit has improved. It's just little things, right? They're just choices. They're just choices. And this is just for me. I'm still struggling getting to meetings. I did go to that meeting last week, the 11th step. It was really good. I was going to try to go last night. The other thing I've been doing, which is not smart, is I've been bottling up resentments. And the bottle popped last night. My wife and I had to have a little conversation. And, you know, unfortunately, it came out, you know, a little more abruptly than I would have liked. But it had to come, excuse me, it had to come out. I had to get it out. I had to get honest about how I was feeling with some things. And that happened. That felt good. You know, we talked about that. We're good today. I mean, we were good last night, but you know, sometimes I'm not good at communicating. I'm not good at checking in. I'm not good at being honest about how I'm feeling. You know, when you have kids, and if this is going on in your life, it doesn't surprise me, but when you have kids, it's easy to feel like you're doing all the work. And there are days I feel like I'm doing all the work. Now, granted, my wife, her job is like a normal job, right? You know, 9 to 5. It's hard for her to, you know, get the kids to school. Pick the kids up, and of course I have an easier job, which is, you know, owning my own business, which gives me a little more flexibility, which allows me to fill in when others can't, and which allows me to create resentments, which has been happening. And so we had to have a conversation about that. It's the same one we always have. She goes, I can't pick up the kids this week. I know we're going to have a fight. I go, no, we're not. And then at the end of the week, we end up having an argument because I cannot be honest about things. I'm procrastinating about clearing out some resentments. So anyway, let me see. Can we do a reading real quick? Not that you're upset, but I do apologize. I haven't done this more often. I've been procrastinating on it, unfortunately, because it's still, I get in my head about this as well. All right, here we go. Daily Reflections. Where are we at? I bet it has something to do with what's going on. Let's see. October 29th, our survival. Since recovery from alcoholism is life itself to us. Let me say that again. Since recovery from alcoholism is life itself to us, it is imperative that we preserve in full strength our means of survival. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 177. The honesty expressed by the members of AA in meetings has the power to open my mind. Nothing can block the flow of energy that honestly carries with it. The only obstacle to this flow of energy is inebriation. But even then, no one will find a closed door if he or she has left and chooses to return. Once he or she has received the gift of sobriety, each AA member is challenged on a daily basis to accept a program of honesty. My higher power created me for a purpose in life. I ask him to accept my honest efforts to continue on my journey in the spiritual way of life. I call on him for strength to know and seek his will. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Well, listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. Thanks for letting me share. And we'll catch you later. Bye. And your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puppy love. We say it's full grown. Hope that we feel this way forever. You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. Ten times out of nine. Now if I'm lying, fine. The quickest muzzle, throw it on my mouth and I'll decline. King meets queen, then the puppy love thing. Together dream about that crib with the Goodyear swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it, need some knee pads. It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh.